In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, after 2 weeks out of the pulpit, I'm glad to be back upright and vertical. I also want to just say a thank you to Gary, who filled in for me for the last couple weeks. Has been a very generous gift, and I'm grateful. You know, I heard a story about a very wealthy man who dies, but he was a very good man. He was very righteous, generous, did all the things, but he had worked hard and he was very wealthy. So he's at the gates of heaven. And he comes up and St. Peter says, "Well, welcome, friend." And he said, "You know, St. Peter, I have a request. I know you can't take it with you, but I worked awfully hard in my life. And do you think I could just bring something as a token to show that I, for all the work that I've done?" And St. Peter says, "You know, I don't know. Let me go check." St. Peter goes in the gates. It's gone for a while. Goes to talk to God. St. Peter comes back. Says, "All right, God said we'll compromise here. If you can go and whatever you can bring in a single suitcase, you can bring into heaven." So the rich man wakes up on earth and goes off and says, "Now what do I want to bring? What could I possibly show for all the work that I've done in my life?" "Well, what do you do in heaven?" "Well, I don't even know what you do in heaven, so maybe I'll bring money." And he says, "Oh, but what currency do they accept in heaven? I mean, can I even exchange it up there? I don't know." He says, "Well, you know, gold is accepted everywhere." So he goes and he buys and exchanges his money for gold bars. He gets the biggest suitcase he can, fills the suitcase with gold bars, shuts it up, immediately dies, and he's at the gates of heaven. And he's dragging this heavy suitcase up to the gates. He gets up there. St. Peter says, "Oh, hi, welcome back. Can I ask what you brought? Do you mind if I see?" And he says, "Sure." So, flip, flip, opens the suitcase. St. Peter looks down. He said, "You brought pavement?" Well, there are so many things that we value in our world. So many things that we think are important. And we are reminded today in the scripture that there are greater glories in life than those things. Those things like wealth and fame and honor. Our gospel lesson, we heard today the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Now, we don't know if this was Jesus' friend that rose from the dead, but this is a parable. It's a story to explain a deeper truth. And in the parable, you have a wealthy man who lived very sumptuously, and then you have this man who lived outside his gates, whose only comfort were the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table and the dogs coming up to lick his wounds. So they get to the afterlife and their lots are switched. And one is comforted and one is not. And this story could be a very frightening story. It could be a very terrifying story. But if we can put aside that part of it, at the very heart of this parable is the lesson. That is the same lesson, that there are greater glories than what we value in this world. The lesson is looking to what is truly important in this life. This letter we heard, part of the second reading, is from 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy is among what are called the pastoral epistles. Now you might be going, "The field what?" Well, pastoral epistles is a way that in the churchy term for saying it's a personal letter that Paul wrote to somebody. There are about four of them in the Bible. Two of them got written to Timothy. Timothy was a younger protege of Paul's. He was kind of a colleague, but someone who was learning to be a leader in the church. And so St. Paul is writing Timothy about how to be a leader in God's kingdom. And in this letter, he writes this little bit of advice. And he says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains." Just in case you ever wondered where that expression came from, there is the source. But of course, we say this expression in our daily life, but we misquote it, don't we? So what do we usually say? We say money is the root of all evil. Well, that's not what Paul said. He said, "The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." And so you may, like anything, what Paul is saying here is we're given all kinds of things in our lives, many gifts. We have authority, talents, intelligence, and money. It, just like all of these things, is a gift to be used. And all of these gifts can be used to give us more fulfilling lives. But part of fulfillment is understanding that these gifts are not goals unto themselves. These gifts are merely tools to be used. Now, while it is appropriate to use these gifts for personal use, we have to remember something. The personal use of these gifts is the secondary use of them. The primary use, what they are given to us, what they are intended for, is for the advancement of God's kingdom. And as these things are secondary, it's kind of like, I imagine, you know, if you need to open a paint can, a lot of us will grab a screwdriver, right? Well, it works. It works just fine. But it's not what it was actually designed for. And like those gifts we are given, that is a secondary use. And so we need to look to that primary use of how it is in God's kingdom. Now, the next piece of advice that St. Paul gives holds as true today as it did then. He says, "But as for you, man of God, shun all of this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." We live in a society that is so heavily driven by superficial things. It's driven by things like money, appearances, reputation, power, honor. And for all of us, any of us, it is so easy to fall into and get sucked into that trap. The trap of the pursuit of these things. And St. Paul's advice here is to pursue what is truly important. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Can you imagine what our world would look like if we were encouraged to pursue those things? If our culture told us these are what are important? Can you imagine if we were driven to pursue righteousness? Decisions would be made not by what is profitable, but what is good for humanity. If we were told by our culture to seek godliness, not only would people fill the pews every Sunday as if it were Easter morning 1955, but our daily conversations would involve how God is seen in all things and through all things. We would think and worry about gratitude instead of anger or malice. If our culture told us to think about faith, then instead of worrying about personal ambition, we would worry about our relationship with our Creator and our Redeemer. If society told us we should strive for endurance, then we would not lose heart when things seem troubled. When there is uncertainty, when conflict arises, what we would see then, the news, when we turn it on, would be talking about God's hand at work in the alleviation of pain and suffering, and where there is reconciliation. And if society encouraged us to seek gentleness, can you imagine how different the world would be? You know, there are so many things going on in society right now. So much turmoil, so many troubles, and so many things to worry about that are really concerning. And many of those things, if we were to seek out gentleness, many of the things going on would look very different if that were a value. People would talk not just to be heard, but to understand others. Benefit of the doubt would be given and relationships strengthened. That's the world that we could live in if these were the values that we were to hold to uphold. And you know, it might seem impossible, might seem out of our reach, but you know what? Every one of us has experienced each of these things. It's not impossible. It's not out of the human capability, because we have all had times where we have valued all of these things. Now, St. Paul concludes this section of his letter by saying, "As for those who are in the present day are rich, command them not to be haughty or set their hopes to the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life." So St. Paul gives two charges here to Timothy, and charges that we can take on as well. The first charge is to set our hope on God, who is certain. In the last few decades, we have seen so many uncertainties in life. We have seen economic bubbles that have risen up and burst. We have seen markets go up and tank. We have seen people who have gained incredible gains and lost it all. But God is certain, sure, and stable. And the second charge Paul gives here is to take hold of the life that really is life. And that is the point of this lesson. That is the point of the gospel lesson. That life is not about what we accumulate, but it is about how we go about living our lives. It is about using our gifts for the right purpose for which they are intended, and building a life that is worthy of living. That is a life that is centered around the greater glories and building of God's kingdom. Amen.